Hi, this is Ross Allen Skorzewski, and today you are listening to the best of the best of The Mark Gunger Show.
Caution, The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to The Mark Gunger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of The Mark Gunger Show, Mark Gunger.
And the crowd goes wild with unbridled enthusiasm at the very mention of my name. This is The Mark Gunger Show, the show that is all about
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Gunger.
I haven't got a brain.
And joining me is the lovely, charming Diane Brierley.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
And, of course, Ross Allen Skorzewski is not with us today.
Well, doggy.
He's off in Slackerville doing something. I don't know. Actually, in addition to doing this program from time to time, you'll see Ross is not around because he also does a whole bunch of other stuff for me.
So he has to go take care of the other stuff.
The other stuff. Ross is actually, in addition to doing this, my personal assistant and prepares all the stuff that I need to deal with. If you ever try to get a hold of me and want to meet with me or deal with me, you got to go through Ross.
He's the gatekeeper.
He's the gatekeeper of the Mark Gunger world. So he told us what he was doing, but I wasn't paying attention to what he said, so he's gone. What do we know? He's gone.
I don't know if I even heard. I just knew he was gone.
This is the show that's all about dealing with your marital challenges, your relational conundrums, your dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com, and we'll do our best to opine upon it. Here's the rules for the show. You get to stay completely anonymous. In return, we get to be brutally honest, and we would never be this mean to you if we were actually talking to you in person. But you're not in prison, so
you can be brutally honest.
We just go off, and that's what we do. So if you're not up for that, don't write to the show. But most people get it, so that's what we do. I am, if you're new to this, a relational speaker, author of a book entitled Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. I do a seminar all across the world called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. So that is really the bulk of my time. In addition, I'm also the pastor of a church in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the exact center of the galactic universe. So you will oftentimes hear us refer to things from a Christian worldview, because it's certainly the world in which I live. You do not, however, have to be a Christian to listen to the show or participate in the show. In fact, if you're not a Christian, we'll probably be nicer to you because
probably
the people who make me crazy are the ones who claim to be Christians and live crazily. That I do not understand. So anyway, so yesterday's show, I was ranting about the phrase unconditional love, a phrase that is used frequently in gospel circles, mm-hmm. talking about God's love for us, a phrase that creeps me out, and I always cringe when I hear it, and I'll explain to you why in a minute. It's not that I do not believe God loves us no matter what. Because I do. I don't like the word unconditional. And some of these words have meanings, mm-hmm. and they have impact, and it gets us in trouble. It's why I don't like the phrase personal relationship with Jesus. Do I believe in what is a personal relationship with Jesus? Of course I do. I believe if you don't really know God, if you've not been born again, you're not going to get into heaven. This is vitally important. But I don't like that phrase. It's not a biblical phrase. You don't find it anywhere in the Bible. Jesus never went around looking for people to have personal relationships with, okay? A man would never approach another man and say,
I'd like to have a personal relationship with you.
And it's not bad enough to have a relationship. It has to be a personal relationship. And it's all part of what I call the feminization of the Christian faith that has been going out of control for, quite frankly, 100 years now.
Quite some time.
Actually, goes back to the late 1800s, if we were to take the time to study this and show it to you. I don't have the time for that. Actually, if you want to read a great book about this, read the book entitled Why Men Hate Going to Church, written by Dave Murrow. Go online, Google it, go to Amazon, Why Men Hate Going to Church. You need this book. Every man out there,
it's a really good book.
Quite frankly, even women should read this book. It will explain why Christianity has become the only major religion in the world that overwhelmingly appeals to and attracts more women than men. I mean, it's just gotten out of control. It's because we have feminized everything. We've been very soft and squishy on a million different things. We tend to attract men into ministry who tend to be overwhelmingly warm and fuzzy, and some of them are out of control. I call them women trapped in men's bodies. You know, these guys, like, good grief.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness. It's
That's
like,
not nice.
Seriously. So anyway, one of the other things, and there's so many areas of this that gets out of control. The phraseology is part. The other thing is the trappings. You know, churches tend to be real foo-foo and, you know, doilies everywhere.
The interior decorator just left the building.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, pictures of Jesus looks like a lady with a beard, or Jesus is always holding a lamb or little children. And and all of this stuff turns off men at a level that they're not even aware of.
Have you ever seen the pictures? I don't know where it was. I saw a picture of it. It was the front of a sanctuary, and they had it more for a man's church. And they had, like, the pine trees and the trees. They actually had taxidermied animals up there. I don't know where it was. It was a while ago that I saw it.
Well, see, that's a man's church. Took something dead up on the wall. Now we're relating to it. But most churches aren't like that. It's like going to a restaurant. We have a restaurant like that here in Green Bay called, what's that called?
The Grapevine.
The Grapevine. Great
restaurant.
It's
a very nice restaurant.
But almost exclusive clientele is female.
You're often the only man in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like really creepy. I feel like I'm totally gay in this place with my wife. And I'm sure it's not that they don't want men's money. They'll take anybody's money. But it is everything about the atmosphere, the ambiance, the decorating, all from such a feminine perspective that it almost and a lot of people listening to this will know restaurants like this, that it just attracts women. It's not like they say vaginas
only, for heaven's sakes.
They're just chick magnets for this stuff. I don't know if they do it intentionally. It wouldn't surprise me if they did not. They just think, I'm just doing
just
a really nice restaurant.
But then, I'm sure that's what they think about churches, too, but just making it look nice.
That's my point. If you look at a lot of these restaurants that do that, go to a restaurant that does this. Look around. It looks like a church.
It
looks like the foyer to most churches.
It does.
It's all foo-foo and everything. And then they wonder why. Listen, men won't even go to a restaurant that's like that.
Why would they want
What
to
makes
go
you
to
think
church?
They're going to go to a church like that? Then you add on top of that insult to injury, where the way we talk about faith, personal relationship, hold the hand of the person next to you, and the pastor's all feely and touchy and talks about, oh, man, most
it's
guys,
creepy.
Most guys, they don't want to go. Most churches, sadly, 60% women, 40% men, and half of the 40% are drugged there only by the 60% of the other women.
That's right.
And we're not going to change the world, folks, if we don't get a clue. You know, men want to be challenged with truth. You know, Christianity is about grace, but they also want truth. They want some kind of challenge. And men are just creeped out by this wussed out version of Christianity that we have panned off using phrases that are non-biblical phrases. I mean, if we're going to quote, at least let's just quote Bible stuff. But having a personal relationship with Jesus is a non-biblical phrase. The other one, which I ended yesterday's show and said I would clarify today, is this idea of unconditional love, this phrase, unconditional love.
But it sounds so nice.
Oh, and it's so wussy, girly.
It sounds very nice.
Oh, especially the women. Oh, and I know those women who just get crazy when I talk about, oh, you say you don't believe in love. I believe in love. I just hate this phrase of unconditional. And while this is not a show about theology, so I want to be careful here because it's easy for us to get off on it. Because, you know, you put 100 different Christians in a room, you're going to get possibly 100 different answers on many things of theology. So, you know, without debating the whole salvation thing, what not and the other, one thing is clear is that Christianity is not an unconditional religion. It is very conditional. If you want forgiveness, you have to repent. You have to ask God forgiveness. You want to experience Christ, you have to confess with your mouth, the Bible says. You actually have to say it. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. What does that mean? If you don't confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before my Father. Oh, no, conditions. Yes.
Yes, there are conditions.
Conditions.
Many of them.
You want to draw near to God, the Bible, or you want God to draw near to you? The Bible says you need to start first by drawing near to God. Conditions. I mean, everything is just the whole New Testament. People, actually, the whole Bible, if you read it, it is really about here are the conditions for a relationship with God, to really know God. Okay?
Even a personal
relationship with God, you would need these are the rules. This is how you do this. And there's a lot of people who just don't believe that today. We have dumbed down faith. Evangelicals have been really bad at this. You got to hand it to the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Episcopalians. At least these guys,
the mainline,
you know, at least they hang on to something. Now, I would disagree with them because, if anything, I think they've overdone it. That Christianity just becomes about what you do, and they don't really experience Jesus. They figure as long as I've been baptized and I got sprinkled and I go to church and they put this oil on my forehead and I obey this holy day, then I'm okay. No, you missed the whole deal. You've got to know God in your life. Hence the personal relationship, which I don't like that phrase, but that's what they're trying to say when they say that. So I get that. But with the rest of us, the evangelicals, we're so excited and so want to bring more people into the kingdom. We have dumbed down the faith experience to where, and this is a new analogy that I've been using.
It's a good one, though.
It's the Peter Pan analogy. It's like when you go to see the play Peter Pan, or you see the movie Peter Pan, and then Tinkerbell is like losing all her strength, and she's fading away to nothing, and they turn to the audience and they yell, "You need to believe. Just say, I believe.
And they're all chanting.
And all the children are screaming, I believe. The parents are just, I believe. And then Tinkerbell comes back to life, and oh, we save Tinkerbell because we believe. This has almost been the message of evangelical Christians. We've spent hundreds of millions of dollars since the Billy Graham days till today doing campaigns and this and that, all in an effort just to get people to pray a prayer.
Just so that they can say, I believe.
And then they're saved. You're saved. Well, who says you're saved just because you did that? I mean, the Bible says you need to show proof of your salvation by what you do. Again, theology, we won't get into a big old thing, but I dislike that phrase. Unconditional. God has unconditional. You want to truly experience unconditional love, you need to come to Jesus because there's unconditional. Again, I think there's other ways we could say it that would be better, but I hate this word unconditional because Christianity is not unconditional.
No, it's not.
You can't even get an answer to prayer without conditions.
That's right.
You know, the Bible says if husbands and wives aren't getting along, it'll hinder their prayers.
I know it says that. No wonder I'm having
such oh my gosh. I mean, seriously, what does that mean? It means there's conditions. Jesus said, unless you come to God in faith and pray and ask God, you won't get any answers to prayer. Even though Jesus said, God already knows what you want before you ask Him.
But if you don't ask Him,
you're not getting jack squat out of God.
Right.
What does that sound like? Conditions. You can't possibly read the Bible and not see. Read the readings of the Gospel of Jesus. Just take a red letter Bible, start reading all the red letters. There's no way you could finish any of that after 10 minutes even and come away with the idea that
a whole lot of expectations
that there's no conditions. There are conditions. Or so as Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, well, that's a pretty tough condition. You got to explain all that. But I'm just saying, the idea that all that is required
is to say the prayer.
So there's the theology part of it. Now, let's drag this into marriage.
How it comes into marriage.
Because as Christians, we have taught unconditional love is this ideal. So women go into their marriages thinking this idea of unconditional love, that you expect nothing out of anybody. You can't require a man not to look at porn and cheat on you. You can't require any, because it's all unconditional. It's like the other day, we were reading an email from some lady that her husband's going to strip clubs. Booby bars.
Booby bars, you called them.
So he's out there looking at boobs all day. Oh, look at the boobs.
Guess how many boobs I saw today.
So he's out there in booby bars, and she has a problem with it, which is good. She has sense.
She should have a problem with it.
But then she goes to her incredibly stupid pastor. And elders of the church. And they basically say to her, well, you know, you have to have unconditional love.
Just keep loving him. Just, don't do anything
which is
to upset
a pile
him.
Of horse manure. And it creates, I believe, destructive relationships.
Very destructive.
It empowers very bad behavior. It is not what the Bible teaches. No way on earth is Christianity an unconditional religion.
And neither should your
Neither
marriage
should be your
be.
Marriage be unconditional.
I don't understand what they're trying to say. Like, granted, if I have a bad hair day, if I have a bad grouchy day, if things aren't right, do I still want my husband to love me? I do. That I get that's what they're trying to say, but they take it beyond that.
Because there's literally no conditions at all.
Right.
Well, look at the Bible. Jesus said that if someone's doing something really bad and they won't stop it, kick him out of the church. Treat him like a pagan or a tax collector.
And that's where they miss it because they think, oh, yeah, but you just love and love covers all.
No. It does, but there's still conditions.
Right.
Even Jesus said you throw him out and treat him like a heathen.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about unconditional love?
Yeah, what about it then? See, then those phrases don't make any sense.
No.
Paul said if you know someone who claims to be a Christian and is acting sexually immoral or acting greedy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny that greed was thrown in the same category as sexually immoral?
Yeah.
Because it's all about what you want.
Yes.
You got a Christian who acts like that? He says, don't even eat with them. Mm-hmm. Don't even sit down and have lunch with them. Have nothing to do with them. Of course, this is shocking. Wow, what about unconditional? Because Christianity is not.
What about forgiveness? What about love? You
I
have
get
to
it.
Get over it.
But
you
it,
have to
No.
I know.
No way. The only way you can come up with Christianity being an unconditional religion is you've got to rip out half the Bible. Mm-hmm. At least
but
half.
But people really don't
it's
get
It's more like three quarters.
Half.
Yeah, but the reason is because we have stressed
grace.
In most feminine of terms,
love.
Unconditional love.
And you know what people will say? They'll say, you're not being very Christian. You know, when somebody's behaving badly like that and there is cause for this, that's not very Christian of you. How are you being so judgmental and so condemning?
Well, that's because they have a feminized view of Christianity, and they have this idea. Look, if the idea of Christianity that is, and I hate to even use the word feminine because a lot of women are great women. They don't have any problem with this. They don't put this nonsense. But yet it's driven much by the whole feminist movement
notion,
and all this
yeah.
other kind of stuff, and the more sensitive and in touch with your feminine side. I mean, when was the last time a woman was challenged to get in touch with her masculine side? You know, it's more like...
It doesn't happen.
The problem with the world is men aren't more in touch with their feminine. Everybody's got a feely, touchy, and what are you feeling? And be honest with your feelings. That's why a lot of your husbands treat you like such crap ladies,
because
he's been taught...
Because they're being honest with their feelings.
Yeah, because their feelings tell them to be whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A real man doesn't live by his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But women
That's
don't
true.
Understand it. So it's been inundated in Christianity. And these pastors, who are a bunch of wuss balls, take these things and they use the same feminine terminology and girly stuff and unconditional love. And look, I know what they're trying to say. God loves the world despite our sin.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond,
the intent is
but beyond
right,
that,
but they just it gets skewed.
But to say there are no conditions
there are lots,
to this relationship is ludicrous and absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. If you don't think there's conditions, if we're going to create an unconditional Christianity, we have to rip out at least 2/3 of the New Testament. Do you people? See, I don't think people actually read the Bible. They don't read
no,
the Bible.
No, I
what
don't
they do?
Think they do.
They read bits and pieces of the Bible.
Yeah.
They'll read their favorite verse here, and
yes.
this favorite, or they'll read a book by Pastor Wussy, who quotes a couple
yes.
of
or
verses
watch
here
the TV
and there.
Programs.
Yeah, but they don't actually
right.
take the Bible
and read it.
You people, those of you who are just mad at me right now, we're all upset about this. Just take the Gospel of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Open up and just start reading the words of Jesus. If in 20 minutes you are not absolutely convinced about what I'm talking about, I'll be stunned. Because there's no way you could read the words of Jesus and think it doesn't matter what you do.
I would be surprised how people could do it.
It absolutely does matter what you do.
Yes, it does. Well, do they think it only applied to who he was talking to at the time? Do you think that's... I try to figure out where they come up with this reasoning and logic.
I don't know, but even if you read the epistles, I mean, it's still... Paul said you need to do the right things. He says,
That's what I'm saying. Do they think that applies only to the exact people he was writing to at the time?
I don't know. I don't know what they... I don't think they think, period.
No, I don't think...
They're not reading the Bible.
It does apply. It applies... All those words apply to us.
We read what other people say about. Stop that. Just read the thing itself.
And then you'll understand why I'm uncomfortable with this idea of unconditional love. I know what they're trying to say. I hate the word unconditional because Christianity is not. If it was unconditional, you'd never have to pray.
That's right.
You'd never have to read your scriptures.
No.
You'd never have to go to church.
No.
You'd never have to give any money.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. I just described 80% of all Christians today.
Yeah.
Did I not?
Yeah, that's a lot of people that would call themselves Christians. That is many of them.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, it is.
Because most Christians don't go to church.
Unless they feel like it.
And I mean people who flat out will tell you they're Christians.
Yeah.
We have a church. Okay. Yeah. Pretty decent sized church, certainly around this area. Most of the people don't come all the time. When they all come at the same time,
these are
not visitors. We're talking about the people who
people
actually
that say
claim
that this is their home church,
my church
that
is their
they
church.
Would
when
be
they all
Christians,
show
yes.
up at once, you can't get them all in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it always ticks me off. I think, you little turds, you know, because they only come Christmas and Easter, or every once in a while during the calendar, they all happen to fall on. So that's why certain days are just packed to this roof. But most of them, they're kind of in and they out. They kind of rotate. You got your core, but the rest of them in it. So most people who actually claim to be Christian, I'm not even talking people who are not Christian.
The ones that say they are Christians.
Yeah, they don't even go to church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly don't volunteer for anything.
No.
They don't give any money. Or if they do, they tip. I mean, they tip more booby bars than they do in the church.
I'm sure they do.
And they really think they're fine.
Yep. They think they're a Christian.
Because they believe in unconditional. It doesn't matter. Conditional. They're going to be in for a shocker, man, on Judgment Day.
It matters.
People, this, you know, again, I know everybody has their own theology, and some of you think, look, as long as you have a Tinkerbell moment, you're saved. I don't think Jesus is a little weak fairy that's dying and who needs everybody to say, I believe that Jesus comes to life and now the sword, who he saved.
It's quite sobering to read all of that. Like, you put that all together, all of those scriptures together.
Those scriptures also that Jesus said that was.
Very sobering to read through that.
Just read all, I'm going to preach a sermon on that this Sunday in my church. All the words that Jesus said about that were strong words.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow.
I mean, this ain't for wusses.
No, this is not.
No.
We blew through our commercial, but we'll keep going here. But for example, I mean, we were talking before about how this morning I said to my wife, I said, man, sometimes you wonder, boy, if Jesus was, you know, had an anger problem.
Comes across as a mite hostile sometimes, doesn't he?
She says, you can't say that. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, then people think it's okay to get all mad. And I said, okay.
Well, Jesus got angry.
But certainly got frustrated.
Obviously, he was frustrated with these people.
One time, he even talked to his own disciples. Mm-hmm. We're talking Peter, Bartholomew, Matthew. These guys prayed for a kid and couldn't set him free. And the guys came to him and said, we took him to your disciples, but they couldn't pray for. They couldn't get him free. Jesus looked at him, and he says this to his disciples, you perverse generation, how long will I be stuck with you people? I mean,
and these are his dudes, these are his guys.
Seriously, now you don't think you think they're all thinking unconditional love at that moment? I mean, he's chewing them out.
Yeah,
this is the Jesus that comes in the temple and he starts screaming at people. I don't think he did this quietly.
No, well, you'll hear people say this and dance all around it, but the Bible is pretty clear. He wasn't
saying,
guys, please, can you?
Yeah, please, I know I'm trying to have a personal relationship with all of you, would you please stop changing temple, money in the temple? He went through the yelling at him with a whip, knocking stuff over.
That's pretty frustrated.
The one that really, the reason I even responded to Deb the way I did, is I'm reading where Jesus was hungry.
Uh-huh.
And he walks up to a fig tree.
Yeah.
And there's no figs on it. If it were me, I would just go, and I'd just go to another fig tree.
Go to the next tree.
Well, Jesus looks at the tree and he curses it. And the Bible says it just dries up and withers on the spot. Now, I'm thinking, really, dude? Just move on to another tree.
Just go, three steps down, there's probably another one.
If you're the disciples and you're following Jesus, we're going like da da da, and he goes, let's go get some figs. And he gets mad at the tree and curses
and
dries
it dies.
Up. Aren't you thinking,
oh my gosh,
let's not dig him off?
Yeah, please don't hack off Jesus.
He's in a bad mood
no
today.
No kidding.
I mean, come on, people. I mean, there's no way that you can look at those things and not get a sense of the passion and the intensity. I mean, people would come to him, and one guy comes to him and says, man, I want to be your disciple. And He says, okay, yeah. But he says, no, no, I really mm-hmm. want to be a disciple. And the Bible says Jesus looked at him and he really felt for something for this guy, yeah. okay? And said, you really want to be my disciple? Go sell everything you have
yep.
and give it away.
And he
was
it.
So, the guy walked away sad, you know. I mean.
It's not easy. You read that in the New Testament. Oh, this was not easy for these guys to follow him.
Oh, no.
So why we think that this easy Christianity.
If you don't lay down your life.
It's not easy.
Jesus said, I came to bring peace, which is odd because mm-hmm. the angel's saying peace on yeah. earth. What's that? But he says, I came to yep. not to bring peace. I came to turn mother against father and father mm-hmm. against son. And
the one where he won't even let them go bury their dead.
Yeah.
That one's like, wow.
Yeah, the guy comes and says, I want to follow you. I just got to go bury my dad. And he says, let the dead bury their dead. Follow me.
No.
I mean, there's no way, people. No. You could possibly read the teachings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And not get the sense that the only way you can be a Christian is if you're willing to give up yeah. everything.
It's a big sacrifice. It's a different way to live. It's not just, oh, this is something I do on the sideline of my life.
So that's why the word unconditional has no business in the Christian lexicon.
It's all full of conditions.
You can't possibly read the gospel and not get the sense that you need to give up everything, mm-hmm. willing to lay down your very life if necessary. So where we get this nonsense of it just doesn't matter and have our Tinkerbell moment and we all go to heaven and it's no, again, I don't want to get anybody's theology. I know people have different versions of what they believe takes them to heaven or not, but be that as it may, anybody can use the word unconditional and apply it to the Christian experience mm-mm. is ludicrous, absurd. It is not biblical. You can't find that word anywhere because...
And then they apply it to their marriages and to their kids and to everything else.
If you would have come to Jesus' disciples and say, you know, what I love about Jesus is just, it's just totally unconditional. They'd have looked at you and thought, dude, you are crazy.
This is easy. He doesn't require anything of me. I get all the benefits. This is
I gave up this
peasy.
And I did that. And they beat the crap out of us and they did this and they took away
word.
My property and I had to surrender this and... I left my fishing business and...
There's no way. No way. But people today live it very unconditionally.
So much for the theology side of it. But then this gets drug into relationships today. People really think that they should have a great relationship for no other reason than they believe in a great relationship.
Just because.
Really, that's it. They're stunned when they don't have a good marriage.
Shouldn't have to do anything, shouldn't have to give anything, shouldn't have to sacrifice anything, it just should be.
Yeah, just like most Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven forbid I volunteer.
Heaven forbid I do anything.
Heaven forbid I go to church on a regular basis. Heaven forbid I give money, oh my goodness. And there's people who argue passionately.
Well, they do.
Why you shouldn't do it. Man, just you should hear the Christians argue why you shouldn't tithe. You don't have to tithe, that's an Old Testament concept.
Oh, sure.
No, you're right. 10% was an Old Testament concept. The New Testament concept is 100%.
Give it all. Give it all.
How do you get out of this? I don't have to give anything
know.
Nonsense. Anyway, we love y'all. We're going to take a break because it's a conditional thing that we must do. We'll be back right after this.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains should crumble to the sea.
Oh yeah. See, no matter what happens,
I won't cry.
I won't cry.
No,
I'll be there.
Won't shed a tear.
As long as you meet this one musician.
Just as long as you stand by me.
Everybody sing.
And darling, darling, stand by me.
Oh, everybody sing out loud. Your headphones on.
Bye.
Ever hear anybody do that?
Oh, my kids always say, Mom, you're singing out loud.
They forget they have the headphones on in a library or something, and they start singing. And it's like, whoa, dude.
Doesn't sound so good.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. We're trying to stand by you concerning all things relationship-oriented.
Okay, first email today says, I am 44 years old and my husband is 43. We have been married for 8.5 years now. We have a true miracle on our hands with an amazing 2-year-old because apparently they haven't had sex very often. So she thinks it's a miracle that they had a baby considering how many times they did. But they did. She did say they did it wrong and they had sex before they were married and they had no problems and were having great sex. But then it was after they got married.
By the way, this is very common.
Mm-hmm.
We were just watching the episode of House that we TiVo'd last night. So House is all over this woman and he's just marrying her. Because she's a babe and she needs a green card, right. And he thought this will be great anyway. And so he marries this Russian chick.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute after they had been married,
it was right after, immediately after that.
And then she kisses him and he goes, "No, I can't do this mm-hmm. now." And I told you, I said, that's exactly how a lot of people are.
He says, "I don't have sex with married women."
Yeah. You know, if he'd have married the cutty chick, that same thing would have happened. Yeah. I mean, these guys, they can only exist in the context of lust. Mm-hmm. That's why girls, you don't want to have sex with these guys before you marry them. You want to filter those guys out. So here's a lady.
Yeah.
Before, when it was naughty, he was all into it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it became legit,
mm-hmm.
not interested.
And it was a second marriage for both of them. Mm-hmm. She said, it's now almost mid-March, and the last time my husband touched me was the beginning of November. So was it 6 months? Yes, mm-hmm. it's been that long, she says. I think the time before that, it was April or May. So, I mean, this is like once or twice
a year.
I'm tired of always being the one that needs to initiate sex. I have told him that sex is important to me, that as his wife, I want and need to feel that closeness to and with him. I have asked, begged, borrowed, and pleaded with him, and it just gets longer and longer between times. I'm so frustrated it hurts. He tells me I'm the love of his life, but really? Is this how you treat the love of your life? I don't know what to do. I see my life falling apart and my heart is breaking. I want our son to have a daddy, but I'm on the verge of leaving. I can't stay, yet I feel I can't go either. She said, thank you for listening. Let the ripping begin. And there is some other information. This is the lady I emailed back and forth with so many times that I feel like I'm her friend.
See, at least these people know how this show works.
Yeah, so she knows. Apparently, there was a history that she's had 10 miscarriages. So part of his deal is he's really worried about her getting pregnant. He does have a vasectomy scheduled. Mm-hmm. And maybe after the vasectomy is done and he's shooting blanks, he'll have sex with her again, he says. And that might be part of it. I asked her about porn and masturbation. She said no porn, but that he has masturbated. So whether he's not...
Has masturbated.
In the past is, you know, sort of...
How does she know that?
Well, it had to do with when they were doing the fertility treatments and he made comments that, you know, he had been masturbating or something and when they were doing all
now,
of the baby
stuff.
Now, it wouldn't
surprise me if, in fact, he is masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal, lady, with the masturbating thing. Every time a guy masturbates, he's stealing from you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, I know you know what your girls want? Like, she wants a man who's passionate,
mm-hmm.
who's engaged, who helps, who's connected. The thing, ladies, that drives a man to do the things you want is not unconditional love. What motivates a man? Sexual energy.
It's a sex drive.
It's what. So when you girls dismiss his sex drive, I know women who say, you know, I like it. He's just go take care of himself. Leave me alone.
Can't you just take care of yourself?
Yeah. Because what happens then is he's not passionate about you.
Right.
So they complain that he's not passionate about them, but then they don't want to have sex with their husbands.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't get it. Okay.
You can't.
Now, here's the thing with this guy. He's probably, my guess is masturbating. I don't know. So if he is, you need to make sure that you put a stop to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, now if she does initiate.
I asked her when she initiates, does he respond? And she said, yes, he is usually willing, but she thinks it's not her job all the time to be the initiator.
Okay, sweetheart, listen to me. First of all, it's not a job, okay? Mm-hmm. Stop thinking like that. Look, in every marriage, there's one person who is more interested in sex than the other one. You might have a guy who, whether he masturbates or not, and whether or not he's got a vasectomy or not, is probably just not all that. He's not the kind of guy who initiates sex.
And the one who does generally is the one who's the initiator feel like they, I don't want to have to be the one. Do most people feel like that and think that?
I think so, yeah. I think whoever's the one, you know, I have no secret in my life. I'm the initiator on here, you know. And it would be great. Man, it'd be great if I walked in the house and my wife says, man, I can't wait to have sex with you. You know, I've never had that response.
No.
It'd be really nice. You know, I'm sure that. But look, whoever is this person who's more interested in sex, you are the initiator.
Yeah. And you might not like it.
But I don't come in saying, oh, it's a job. Oh, it's a stupid job. I hate this
Somebody's
job.
Somebody's got to do it.
I got to do the job. How come nobody else does a job? So it's a quick thing like that, okay? So you have to be the initiator. Mm-hmm. As long as he is willing to make love to her, and he does.
Mm-hmm. She might just have to be the initiator.
No. If that's true, and they've only had sex twice in a year, it's her fault.
Because she hasn't initiated it.
That's right.
I know it's hard to want to be the initiator, but my dear friend, my dear lady, sometimes you just have to. Otherwise, you will go months at a time if that's the kind of husband you have and that's the situation. And you can wish it's different.
This. And if he never turns her down.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's harder because if he was all Randy for her at the beginning, she wants what was back at the beginning. And she did send pictures. She's lost Randy. Well, that's the word, you know. She's lost a bunch of weight.
Hi, my name's Randy.
And she does look great. She sent the pictures in. So I'm sure she's thinking, why isn't he yet attracted to this? So I'm sure she's thinking a lot of those things.
You know what? Because the guys who are like that, when you were dating him, you didn't like those kinds of guys.
Yeah. Well, you liked all hot this to guy to begin with.
Because you had a sense of power and control. And that
maybe
probably,
she was the initiator back
and
then.
And it probably felt good to her.
Yeah.
You know? Well, keep doing it. I know it's harder for when the woman is the one more interested in sex. Because everything about our culture, including listening to this show, men are more interested in sex. Mm-hmm. Men, so these women who have it the other way around, they think something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they get mad and frustrated. The only time it's wrong is if you try to have sex with him and he pushes you away.
But she didn't say that. She said usually he
then
is willing.
Then that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. So she
just like it
to,
is if a man tries to have sex with his wife and she always pushes him away. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, if you're the initiator and you haven't had sex in a year, this is on you. It's your fault that you have not had sex more than twice in the last year. Stop it.
And maybe if he has the vasectomy and he feels like he's not worried about her,
No, I'm telling you, it's not going to make much of a difference.
You don't think so?
No, it's not going to make much of a difference. I guarantee you.
It's going to be the
Get
same.
Get comfortable with it. You are the sexual initiator in your home. Great.
It's like some people have to be the cooker. Some people have to be the laundry doer. And sometimes it's not always the way.
And it's fine. I know it. It's fine. Not everybody does. You know, we talk, I would say 25% of all women act more like men and 25% of all men act more like women in many ways.
Yeah.
And sexually is one of those ways. She happens to be the one who is more of the initiator. He's the one who likes to be chased, if you will.
And it's frustrating.
And he probably assumes that she don't want to have sex. She's not asking for sex. She probably because a guy like that is probably thinking because you're not asking, you're not interested, so he doesn't want to ask and get rejected.
Yeah,
men have very very fragile egos. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So if a guy knows, gee, if I ask, do you know?
Yeah, I didn't get into any of that. If she had ever been the turning him down and ever that had been part of this.
Yeah. But
could have been.
Do you know how many really attractive women? You're a pretty lady. I don't know if you had this or not, but certainly attractive women like yourself are even more babed out than you are. It's a myth.
Really? There's women that are more baked up.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. It's amazing how many of them have a hard time getting asked out on a date. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard them say that, but they'll actually say, they never get asked out on dates. Yeah. I've had gorgeous.
Because they're too intimidating.
They're so intimidating. A man looks at this woman and thinks, no way is she going to want me. Because she's so stunningly attractive. So they almost never get asked out on
dates.
This
is the phrase that I had guy friends when I was younger in high school and first out of high school, that they told me, you are what guys look at as untouchable.
Yes.
That it was just, like, it was too intimidating that I was out of their, which I
out
never saw myself as being out of their
league.
No,
they don't either. In fact, they're stunned. They're just stunned that men don't ask them out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way they're wired, okay? Yeah. So if a guy knows his chances of succeeding are probably small, he won't even take the risk.
Won't even try.
So if you have a husband who's wired this way towards you, rather than get a no, he just won't ask.
Yeah, because so he doesn't want to be turned down.
So he won't be initiated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you married a guy, you married him, there was something about that in his makeup overall that really attracted you to him.
Yeah.
Then go with that and quit. So it's my job. I got to do the job.
Do you want to have sex or don't you want to have sex? Sometimes you just have to be the one to make it happen.
That's the way I treat it. I come home like, oh, man, I hate this job.
It's a job. I'm doing overtime again.
I got to do this job. Come here, woman. Oh, for crying out loud. Here we go. The fact that you're even using those words means you're really looking at this in the wrong light. But all to conclude, at the end of the day, the reason you're getting this twice a year, your fault, not his.
Well, and part of it is you want to, everybody wants to be wanted.
Oh, I know
you
know,
and you live and you read these books
everybody
you watch the movies and but it can make you feel real bad.
I know, but that's where you got to learn to say no to yourself.
And like, I know, not live in fantasy
people
land.
People who wind up having affairs, one of the main
reasons why they have them.
They have affairs is they feel wanted.
Yes, that's exactly why people.
I'm sure everybody likes to feel wanted, but at some point, you got to realize, hey, we don't get everything we want.
Okay.
I want $1 million today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not going to get it. Well, the day's not over. You don't know.
It could happen. Let me know if it does. I'll split it with you.
I ain't splitting it with you.
Okay. Next email says, I have a question about adultery. How is the original biblical text worded? How many would consider the words unfaithful and adultery to be synonyms? For myself, I would consider a man or woman that is abusive to be unfaithful to the marriage, but that is not adultery. I would also say that anyone who is neglecting any of their duties in a marriage, sexual or otherwise, is also being unfaithful to the marriage. I am not in any of these situations, nor ever have been, but I can tell you I would not stand for any of them if I were. I would need to become a butt-kicking man if any of these things were happening. This is a guy, right?
This is a guy, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if his wife was doing this, but he wants to know your thoughts on this. Does unfaithful and adultery mean the same thing in the original biblical text?
No, it does not. People will say that. People are desperate.
Oh, sure they do.
They're desperate to find any other excuse in the Bible for divorce than sexual sin. Mm-hmm. The only excuse in the Bible is sexual unfaithfulness, and they are desperate to find other excuses. So they're trying to say, well, it also means this, and it also means that, and it also means... So much so today that people don't believe what Jesus said anymore. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is ask the question.
Which
I've done on the blogs and different things. People got really, they get real mad about it. Jesus said, if a man divorces his wife, except for sexual unfaithfulness, and marries someone else, he commits adultery. My question is, when is that ever true? Ask most Christians, when is what Jesus said about this ever true? Ask most pastors, especially evangelical ones, they're so wussed out. Ask them, when is this ever true? And they stutter.
There's no answer.
And they stammer. That's how bad it's gotten, folks. We don't really believe what Jesus said is true at all.
Because they think you can divorce for any and all
reasons.
Yeah,
well, you know, you got this reason, you got that reason, and, you know, there's abuse, and there's neglect, and there's the barometric pressure, and the wind blowing out of the southeast that day, and how much weather you're going to have, and... You know, they come up with every reason under the sun. I say, okay. I'm not going to even argue about that.
Mm-hmm.
All I want to know is one question.
Is it ever true?
When is it ever true? And they can't give you. They literally can never tell you when, under what circumstance, what Jesus said is ever true. That's how bad we've gotten.
I know.
That's how far we've gotten away from the teachings of Jesus. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
We've made Christianity about the Tinkerbell experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jesus taught has little to nothing to do with it. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, getting back into theology here, don't want to get in trouble with some of you, but this show is not supposed to be about theology, but Jesus said, on Judgment Day, many people will say to me, Lord, he says, I'm going to look at him and say, I have no idea who you are.
I can tell you, that freaks me out.
It should freak everybody
totally
out.
Totally freaks me out. I don't want to be one of those people.
I don't either. That scares the willies out of me. It's called the fear of the Lord. It's a good thing. All right, we're going to take a break for fear of something not working if we don't, and we'll be back right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com.
Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there, because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. I don't have another ace up my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry.
Cause baby, that ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe.
Remember the day I set you free.
There's nothing to keep you away from the Mark Gunger Show. Well, unless your internet connection is not working.
If your internet dies, that's it.
Your equipment quits working. And I guess there's a few things. I'm here with Diane Ross Allen. Skorzewski is out doing, I don't know what he's doing, so he's not on.
He's doing his
show.
Thing someplace out and about. This is from the same email. The same man wanted to know. He said, I struggle when you bring up Muslims and how they are doing it right. The Muslim faith, as are all other faiths, faith systems, is work-based. So the reason they are so good about these things is because they're trying to work their way into heaven, which conversely is the problem with the Christian faith. We are saved by grace and not works. So many people must figure, why bother? I'm already saved. They just don't seem to understand that works are evidence of faith. They forget the verse, faith without works is dead.
Indeed they do. That's the problem. And, you know, I've had other people get on me about this, you know, because they, well, I know all kinds of Muslims who do all kinds of terrible things. Okay. I shouldn't say Muslims do this. I say at least they teach it. Yeah. You know, at least they
You don't
teach.
Say they're all following it.
Yeah, I'm
You're
not saying
commenting
they all follow
on
it.
Their teachings.
I suppose they're like everybody else. You give them the right opportunity to do the wrong thing, and they will. But at least they teach it, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. We don't do a good job of teaching it.
You know, the Muslim websites I've gone to, they're very clear. Muslim men do not screw their girlfriends. They don't look at porn and masturbate. They don't drink. They don't do all kinds of stuff. They're very
clear. Well, they're
clear.
Told not to.
Yeah. You know.
Go to a Christian website.
Well, you go to Jewish websites, you know, at least conservative religious Jews, same response you get. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to Christian websites, even conservative Christian websites, all kinds of, you know, we're so...
They dance around.
And I don't know, and I guess it's okay.
It's okay if you do it unto the Lord.
You know, masturbate and do it as an act unto worship to Jesus. And
how do you do that? I heard you say that many times.
Some idiot wrote it. I guess you praise the Lord while you're yanking on your wiener.
What do you got a tambourine in one hand and you're singing songs? Oh my gosh.
I don't know, for heaven's sakes.
The human wang is a beautiful thing.
These guys just love with themselves. Even James Dobson, you know, God bless him for all the work he's done. But when it came to this issue, he wussed out too. I was so, one of the nicest things my dad ever did was tell me it was okay to masturbate. Really, Jim? Mm-hmm. Seriously? Mm-hmm. See, this is where we get away with what Jesus said. We make up crap. We just make it up. We pull it
because
out of
it
our
butts.
We reach up our butts and pull it out.
Oh, please.
That's what we do. We just pull it out of our butts. We don't look at, because Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he commits adultery in his heart. Well, if just looking at how can you possibly masturbate?
Well, that's where they say, if you're thinking about your future wife, or if you're not really thinking about the girl that just waited on you at Starbucks, or you're not looking at porn, whatever, they dance around it.
All equivocal nonsense.
I know.
So that's why I think other religions do a better job of having a moral center. Then, and it depends. Again, my biggest I am an evangelical Christian. You probably wouldn't know that, as critical as I am of them, because I think they just, you know, faith to them is a Tinkerbell experience, and you can do anything you want because we're into unconditional love, you know, and, you know, at least other faith, you know, other versions of Christianity have a clue. They believe in something. We talked about the other day, at least Catholics, you know, they believe in something. Good Lord, what do we believe in? It doesn't matter. Everything's okay.
It's okay. That's you can go off and find your soulmate. The article we read about the Catholic stand on divorce. You can do anything you want.
Yeah, they don't. They say no.
No.
This is a deal for life. Sounds like, I don't know, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
He did have one other thing he wanted to run past you. He said, I enjoy your show a great deal, but most of it seems to be reactive instead of proactive, i.e. solving people's problems instead of preventing them.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if you would consider taking one day a week and change the show to be more of a proactive approach for people who are dating and teenagers who will be dating. He has a 14-year-old who's coming into dating.
Could I do that? Yes. Will I do that? No.
I think it ends up being very, I mean, while you're reactive to the answering,
that's
it becomes proactive when you're listening.
Yeah, if you listen to the show, as proactive as listening to me react to somebody else's craziness.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the emails end up being reactive, but I still think what you say is very proactive.
Listen, a lot of the show, have you listened to a lot of the show today? A lot of it was me being proactive.
Yes.
We do it from time to time. Yeah. The problem with a show like this is it gets kind of boring. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, and you say, someone writes in and says their problem, and then you say, now for the rest of you out there, it often becomes very proactive in the context of the reactive
this
emails.
Show is about me reacting to the craziness that is out there, quite frankly. That's what it is.
It does become proactive.
You can always do your own show and do whatever you want, but I don't want
to. Let your 14-year-old son listen to these. My kids listen to them. I have a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, and they listen to the shows all the time. It's very...
You know what's great is because when it's your problem, you can't think.
Yeah.
When it's somebody else's problem, all of a sudden you go, it becomes real obvious.
Yeah. We have great conversations. We talk about what this situation was and what that was. It's really great. My kids like listening to it, besides the fact that I'm on it. Even when I wasn't on it, we used to listen to it, you know. So
yeah, you got great kids.
Yes, I do have wonderful kids. Okay, next email says, almost 2 years ago, I met this guy. He was in the military, and we hit it off right away and just clicked. For the first time, I felt like I had met the right one or that I just knew.
You know
so
how she knew that? Is it a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as she touched eyes with this guy, she heard
something like that.
It's a very military thing.
It is.
Some of the people hear violins and stuff, but when you're in the military,
this is what you hear.
The band kicks in, and she knew it was true love at once.
Okay.
That's how she knew.
That's how she knew.
Okay. So then in August of 2009, he left for Iraq. And they continued to talk about three times a week, getting to know each other on these hours and hours long phone conversations. She did want to interject here that she is a Catholic. So anyway, when they were talking on the phone all these hours,
we love Catholics.
He suggested that they try phone sex. She says, I got extremely attached to him at this point. It was fun.
Attached to him?
By doing this. She said it was fun.
Masturbating.
Yes. And she had already struggled somewhat.
Come on, you little Catholic girl, you know better than that.
Well, she said she'd already struggled somewhat with masturbation, and she started doing the phone sex thing with him. But she was in constant guilt about it and felt bad. She said, anyway, our attitude together was, let's see how this plays out and see what happens. I dated in the meantime.
What the heck does that mean?
Just to see what happens, you know, just what? Roll with it.
What's supposed to happen?
I don't know. See if it works. See if it doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
Their relationship.
Oh, you're talking about masturbating.
No. Their whole relationship now. I moved on. You were stuck. I moved on.
I'm still stuck on masturbating.
No. About the whole relationship. She said, I dated in the meantime, but always would rather spend time talking to him on the phone instead.
You're masturbating.
Apparently.
Yes.
I decided I couldn't handle both, so she stopped talking to this guy. She couldn't handle.
It would
handle.
Be easier to hold a conversation with people who masturbate while you talk to them. But that's very embarrassing at Starbucks.
Yeah, indeed it is. So she stopped the phone sex and stopped with this guy because she thought she couldn't date and do that. But she said, dating was miserable. Every time I saw the other guy's face, I thought of him, the guy in Iraq, and how much fun we had talking. So when he returned from Iraq, she went to visit him in Hawaii when he came back.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted to know if their connection was really still there. They had a really great time. However, didn't spend much time doing anything except having sex.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Time. Okay. So when it goes on for quite a while. This was very long. I'd spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out how to do it. She is very attached to him. She's tried to break it off with him, but she always thinks about him. She tries to date other guys, and it doesn't work out. So she's just stuck.
So she doesn't want to be with this guy?
She does, but
he doesn't want to be with her.
He's not real committed to it. He's very non-committal
about
it. Yeah,
that's because you're screwing him for free, you silly girl.
Her question is, I'm confused and I don't know what to do. I want to see him again and see where this goes.
No, stay away from him.
She's vowing. You need a she won't have sex with him.
You could have sex with him and he won't have anything to do with you.
But her question is it supposed to be this complicated?
Yes, that's why you don't
you
have sex with him.
You made it that complicated. You made it.
Listen, let's get physically.
Yes.
There's a chemical released in women when they have sex. It's called oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this. Even the heathens know this, okay? It's called the bonding chemical. It's the same chemical that's released in a woman when she nurses a baby. It's what helps her to bond to this creature.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what released in... See, well, here's what happened. Women don't know. See, men don't have that happening in them.
No.
A guy can have sex and it's no big deal.
And he moves on.
A woman thinks she can.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work.
Sex that complicated
I know since women's lib... They think, well, women can be as big a pig as men. You can't do it,
girls. You're not biologically wired to.
You're not wired for it. What happens is the minute you start doing this, this chemical, this bonding chemical starts going through you, and then you want to stay with the very thing that's bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason why you felt so bonded to this guy is because every time you talk to him, you're masturbating.
Yep.
And when you're with him, you're screwing his brains out. And so you got all this chemicals flying around. You think, oh, I still want this guy. I want this. No.
Stay away from him.
Silly girl. And quit screwing guys when you're dating them.
Quit masturbating
with them. Quit masturbating on the phone, for heaven's sakes. It'll mess you up. All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.